Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
That gratitude is the believer's response to grace. That gratitude is not just thanking Jesus for our food, thanking Jesus for our home and our friends and our family and all the stuff that we have, but gratitude is our literal response to God's grace. God's grace is his unmerited favor, meaning this, he didn't have to give it to us, but he did. Jesus didn't have to die for us, but he did. You know, we could be preaching a gospel today if he hadn't come to the cross that would have called all of us to go to our own crosses and to die and to bleed and to be mocked and humiliated and a spear stab our side and nails go in our hands. But Jesus said, number one, I love you enough to not make you do that. Number two, even if you did that, you're not a perfect sacrifice. So Jesus gave his life so that you and I might have life and life in abundance, the eternal life and the Zoe life in everyday life that we have. And so I'm grateful that God did that for us, but I'm also cognizant that God's grace demands something from us, that freely we have received, now freely give. And a lot of times we talk about the freely reception of Christ that we have had and that we freely give that to others, and that is true. But can I encourage you that when we talk about the gratitude that we have in the big way, that we are grateful for what God has done for us, there is a demand that that gratitude places on our life. Gratitude is more than just a grateful attitude. Our attitude is usually an external reaction to an internal situation. But remember this, God does not bless us by what we appear to be. That means you can't fake gratitude. You know, there are people that literally had their hands uplifted a few moments ago, that your hands were lifted high and your mind was a papados already. Your hands were lifted high, but your mind was on your problem. So if your hands were lifted high and your mind was on your problem, you were worshiping your problem, you weren't worshiping God. Well, I knew that wouldn't go over very well. Let me tell you, when I'm worshiping, I've got to fight not to think about all the mess I'm going through, but sometimes I've got to fight going through my Monday list of things to do while I'm worshiping. My mind starts wondering, all the lyrics were wrong, all that tree doesn't look right, that tree's leaning, and what, all of these things, that tree's not leaning, I'm just saying what I could think about. That's what I got to fight. And then I do have to fight about conversations Mandy and I had, things that are going on in my family, do I have enough money to pay this bill at the end of the month, and all of that is fighting for my attention while I have my hands in the air. But if I'm thinking about those things, what I've literally begun to do is I've begun to worship those things instead of worshiping the God of the universe. So I want to encourage you as we talk about gratitude and our response to God's grace, that you can't fake gratitude, and so you've got to stay focused, singularly focused on Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, not for everything, but in everything. We talked last session about the woman with the issue of blood, the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda, and the 10 lepers, and how Jesus healed them. But he said, not only do I want to heal you, I want to bring you into wholeness. And that gratitude is our main ingredient for getting everything God has for us. It's not enough that Jesus heals you from a sin problem. It's not enough that Jesus heals you from your past. Jesus said, I don't want to just deliver you from your past to stay where you are, but I'm delivering you from your past to take you into the glorious future that I died so that you might have. Aren't you glad that God is not done with you yet? Aren't you glad that God delivered you from all the things you fought, but he is also delivering you into his plan for your life? For some of us, wholeness is waiting on our healing. Wholeness begins with gratitude, which is our response to grace. Gratitude is that main ingredient to make us holy and whole. And it is God's will for every disciple and follower of Christ to be holy and whole, which is where we left last session. But I want to talk about gratitude in worship. And can I just remind you that worship, church, is not the two or three slow songs we sing at Living Way. Worship is not just a time spent at church with soft music and soft voices. Worship is an attitude of our heart. Your life and my life should be given in worship. If we realize that it's not just the songs we sing that are worship, but the life that we give and the words that we say and the actions of our life, that is worship. Can I just ask you the question, how are you worshiping God on a daily basis? If worship and prayer is an incense that God breathes in his nostril, is it a good smell he's smelling? Is your daily life, Monday through Saturday, not on Sunday, is your life a sweet incense of worship? Let's go to the 100th Psalm, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is to everybody. This is to every believer. You know what I love? The fact that Psalm 100 does not say, only those who have great voices make a joyful noise. It doesn't even say sing right here. It just says make a joyful noise. Some of us can't sing as good as this team sang. But God does not take away the responsibility of gratitude and worship from those who can't sing as good as the worship team. God says, listen, if you've got breath in your lungs, you can make a noise. And I need everybody that has breath to be able to give God, praise God, a joyful noise. When we see that word make is what you do. You and I each have a decision all day, every day on what we do. Tomorrow morning when your alarm goes off, you have the choice to hit snooze or to turn it off. To get up with a good attitude or to get up with a bad attitude. To get up saying, oh my God, it's Monday again, or get up saying, oh God, it's Monday, cannot wait to see what happens. Your life is what you make it. You say, well, I'm waiting on God. I've got bad news for you. God's waiting on you. What are you waiting on God to do? God has already done everything that he needs to do. He died on a cross, went to hell, whipped the devil for 3 days. The Bible says he came back to life, resurrection life. He ascended into heaven. And guess what he's doing? He's not working on your behalf. He's praying for your faith so that you and I can get up and do what he's called us to do. If you're waiting on God, you're going to be waiting a very long time. You're waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Make is what we do. Gratitude will affect what you do. Ungrateful people are always doing the wrong thing. The joyful noise is what weirds a lot of people out in church. Stay with me for just a moment on this thought. And I was going back through my notes this week, and God just took me just a little further here. The joyful noise, in 1 Peter, we hear, the Bible says this, that we are a peculiar people. How many of you know a weird person? Raise your hand. How many of you know a weird church person? Raise your hand. Yikes. Peculiar does not mean weird. Peculiar means set apart, means different. But a lot of us wear this weird badge on our chest as a sign that we have arrived and that we are more spiritual. Every weird person is not spiritual. And most of the strongest spiritual people I know are not weird. They're the most practical people that I know. So when we see David say, make a joyful noise, at church, when we start worshiping and praising, some people remain quiet. Some people sing the lyrics. And then other people in this area of the altar during worship, they're yelling, hey, glory, hallelujah. That's her right there. I thought it was Janice. I didn't know, though. But I always hear it out of my left ear when I'm standing right there that somebody says, I don't care what lyrics are on the screen, I'm going to make a joyful noise. But here's the thought that God gave me about the joyful noise that's going to bless somebody in the room today. That joyful noise that Janice gives and others give in this room, it doesn't start on a Sunday at 11 o'clock. Where it starts is in their private time with God, in their private time of gratitude on the way to church, on the way through the valley, on the way through some mess, they are garnering and building a relationship with God. And so on Sunday, when she makes that noise, make it again, Janice. Some of you say, that's too much. That makes me uncomfortable. Number one, it's not for you, it's for God. So it doesn't matter how it makes you feel. But what you don't see is the devil that she's fighting every day and the things that God is pulling her through so that when she gets in his presence and when she starts worshiping, a joyful noise escapes, not because of what he's doing now, but because of what he does every day. Somebody make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. If you only knew what God did for her and me and us, those of us that just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Yes, we're saying all of these things. You're saying that's too much. But if you were at a Spurs game, you would be doing that for people that don't care about you and don't know you. Let me tell you, shame on you if you scream like that for Posty and Jelly Roll and Megan Thee Stallion. Shame on you if you cry at a Bieber concert, but you can't cry in the presence of God. Shame on you if you can sway with a beer or a blunt in your hand at some concert, but you can't lift your... God has done too much. My gratitude won't allow me to stay quiet. Make a joyful noise. I've been to some concerts that weren't Christian. You say, Pastor, my goodness, I've been there. I've seen them dance where if it wasn't for the music I was hearing, I thought they were here at a Sunday service. And it's those same people that would make fun of us for acting that way for a God that has saved us, delivered us, and changed our life. People, listen to this. People misunderstand our public expression because they are unaware of the private impartation. See, you see me for an hour a week, and you say he gets loud and he gets animated. But can I tell you, in my secret place of thunder, I get loud and I get animated when God drops revelation, when God drops rhema word, when God speaks to me about something that I am going through. You say, Pastor, you act like this. I've gotten loud out in the barn. I've gotten loud in my office. I've gotten loud in times of prayer. Why? Because it doesn't matter where I'm at. God said gratitude is not reserved for Sundays or November. Gratitude is the language that we speak to God. Don't get it twisted. Our Sunday expression isn't a result of what God has done today in this service. The joyful noise is a result of life, of God's grace and mercy and God's presence. Verse 2, we gotta hurry through this. Serve the Lord with gladness. Somebody say serve. Come before his presence with singing. I love in verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise. Then in verse 2, he talks about the singers. So you making a joyful noise or us making a joyful noise, it's not reserved for these people. It's reserved for every one of us. Every one of us making a joyful noise. But then he says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. If making is what you do, then serving is important because serving tells us who and how. Who are we serving? We are serving the Lord with gladness. See, the people, and I can't see them, their faces behind these cameras today, but there's people that are running these cameras, great men and women that are here every Wednesday and Sunday. Now, their directors are Michael Vail and Quentin Summers. Now, they're not serving Michael Vail. They're not serving Q. They're not serving me. They're serving the Lord. You know how I know they're serving the Lord for the most part is this. No one is going to come run a camera for 52 weeks a year and not get paid for it. See, when people get burnt out and quit a ministry, it's a telltale sign. They were serving man and not the Lord. Because if I'm serving the Lord, I never get burnt out. Because my reward is not what is given to me, but it is what God has done in me and what God has placed in front of me. And so I serve the Lord with gladness. If you're ever serving with madness, it's for man, not God. That doesn't mean it's always going to be great or it's always going. Sometimes, I'm sure, our great nursery workers, I'm sure they don't get up every Sunday saying, I can't wait to be thrown up on by someone else's kid. I'm sure the Sunday school teachers and Catalyst Kids teachers are not saying, I can't wait for a baby that I didn't bring into this world to disrespect me. But they're not serving the kids, and they're not serving the parents. They're not serving the church. They're serving the Lord. That's why we have people that have been in the same places serving for 40 years. Brother Warren Inman right here and Sister Dahlia, they've been serving the Lord at Living Way longer than I've been alive. And for those of you that math is not your strong trait, that is above 43 years. You think they've always wanted to? Well, I don't know. Brother Warren's a happy guy. He probably has. Every day he's probably woke up saying, this is the best place ever. I can't wait to serve. But let me tell you about me. Sometimes I don't wake up on Sunday saying, oh, it's Sunday. I cannot wait to preach. It's going to be great. Some days I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm fighting through some things. And you want me to go do this? But I remember it's not for you. It's for him. And if he could hang on a cross for me, then I could roll out of bed, put a smile on my face, and serve with gladness. Gratitude will affect who and how you serve. It's going to get tight here for the next paragraph, but y'all stay with me. Joining Living Way and joining a ministry team is not the end-all, be-all. We have people that join ministry teams that have terrible attitudes. They're always late, no call, no show, and repeatedly refuse to serve if it is not on their terms. That is not serving with gladness, gratitude, and that is not exhibiting a godly trait. Can I encourage you, don't ever sign up to serve at Living Way because Pastor Brandon said to do it or put pressure on you to do it. You better make sure that God is leading you. Now, I do believe this, that God will lead each and every one of us to serve in a capacity that is better and greater than just showing up on a Sunday or Wednesday. But can I encourage you today that when God leads you to something, he's going to give you a love for that which he leads you to. And when he leads you to it and you love it, it doesn't matter what comes your way, what happens in your life. You realize on Wednesdays, on Sundays, and any other day I'm needed, I'm going to serve with gladness, not for them, but for him. Verse 3, know ye, oh, I like this, know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We talk about make, that's what we do, serve. We is how and who we serve. But now we talk about know. Knowing is who you know. Sometimes in life, it's all about the hookup, who you know. I always encourage your kids when they tell me, Pastor Brandon, I'm looking for a job. I always tell them, please get a job in retail or fast food. And they look at me like, why? I'm like, so you can hook me up. Just tell me where you work. And some of y'all have the audacity to act like you don't know me, and I'm just trying to get a little discount. Just kidding. That doesn't happen. But it's all about who you know. God has given my family a hookup at the DMV. It's a good hookup, y'all. You can call, and they say, we don't have any appointments for 6 months. And then I just call or text the friend of ours. She said, I can see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Sounds good. Now, she's not doing anything illegal, I think. I don't know. I just say, this is what I need. And she says, this is what needs to be done. And it gets done. It's all about who you know. Now, let me just bring that to this point. If in life, who you know helps you, in eternity, who you know is the only thing that can help you. And when I say who you know, please don't think dropping my name or Stephen Furtick's name or Pastor Becky's name, when you get to heaven, they don't care about that. They want to know you. Well, I served at Living Way. That doesn't matter. Did you serve God? And were you glad about it? Did you live a life of gratitude? How did you respond to God's grace? I'm preaching now to somebody. at the end of my days, I'm not going to be judged by other people and how they perceived me and what I did for them. I'm going to be perceived by, did I know God and have a relationship with Jesus? And when I have the correct relationship with Jesus, it will affect every other relationship I have, and I will treat people the way I want to be treated. I will love people. I will give and sacrifice so that people can be made whole, just like Jesus has called us to. There was a gentleman sitting in my office the other day, and he was talking about a business deal that he was doing. He was having trouble getting funded, and the banks weren't calling him back, and the banks that were calling him back weren't. He wasn't having much success with what they were telling him. And so he's in the middle of talking all this stuff to me, and so I just whip out my phone, and I go to my contacts, and I press the number, and I put it on speakerphone. He's still talking, and the president of one of the most prominent banks in San Antonio, a vice president, answers the phone and says, "Hey, Brandon, it's been a long time. How can I help you?" I said, "I got a gentleman in my office. This is what he's needing. What can you do for him?" And she said, "Well, this is what we can do, and let me get this number." And just a day or two later, we had all the funding, everything that he needed. All that information was given. And I'm not saying it's because of me. I'm saying it's because of who I knew. There was somebody in my phone that I could just call and say, "Hey, this is what's going on, and I need you to help this. Can I encourage you that when the banks are closed or they say no, or the people are turning you off and they say no, there is a line to heaven that we as believers have, that you can get a hold of God whenever you need him to, whenever you need to get to him, whenever you need to talk to him. Aren't you glad that you're not sitting in some confessional booth talking to a man that's got more problems than you? Aren't you glad that we've got a direct line to Jesus? Aren't you glad that not on a Sunday at 11 o'clock, but on a Monday at 2 o'clock, on a Thursday morning at 3:45 in the morning, that you can talk to God, and God says, if that's what you need, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, and I will get those things to you." It all comes down to who you know. Not who you know, who they know, it's who you know. Who do you have a relationship? Remember when the sons of Sceva said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," those devils said, "We know Paul and we know Jesus, but we don't have any idea who you are." I want heaven to know who I am. I want hell to know who I am. I want this world to know that there is a God in me. And it's not me just knowing God, it's the gratitude that I have with God. Worship produces four gratitude points very quickly in our lives, and these are found in Psalm 103. Number one, I have gratitude that God made me. God made me and God made you. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that we are made in the presence of the Lord. That means that what God made, there is no mistakes. God made you anatomically correct, meaning this: the anatomy you were born with, that's what you are. You don't get to choose, and no one else gets to choose for you. If you were born a man, praise God, be a man of God. Be an axe man, a man that has a heart after God's own heart, a man that serves his generation. If you were born a woman, you can't be a man. God has called you to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Well, Pastor, I just feel how you felt died on the cross when you said yes to Jesus. Well, I've just got these tendencies. Well, those tendencies, praise God, were sacrificed when you said yes to Jesus. I have gratitude that God made me. Number two goes right along with that. I have gratitude that I'm not a self-made man. I cringe in the business world when people tell me that they're a self-made millionaire. No, you are not. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to clap your hands and tie your shoes. If it wasn't for God keeping your heart beating and your lungs pumping oxygen thousands of times while you slept, you wouldn't have woke up this morning. God gave you the intellect. God gave you the breath. God made your heart beat. God gave you life. God kept you alive when you and I were trying to kill ourselves with substances and with alcohol and ridiculous and lascivious living. When I look back over my life, there is no way that I could stand here and tell you that I am self-made. When I was making myself, I was full of sin. I was messed up. I was going through it. I was depressed. I was anxious. But when God became the number one focus of my life and I turned to him, it changed everything. I am not self-made. I am made in his image. I am made in his image, and so are you. Number three, I have gratitude that I belong to God. Just think about this. Just got a couple minutes left. When we say we belong to God, the Bible says in no uncertain terms, it is not ambiguous, it is not gray. The Bible says about us believers when we say yes to that you are not your own. Actually, let me rephrase that. It's not to believers, it's to everybody that's ever been born. You are not your own. Don't you know that you were purchased with a price? And he didn't give dollars and Bitcoin. He didn't trade stock options for you and I. You know what he bought us with? His blood. That's how I know that God's love is unconditional. That's how I know that as hard as I tried when I was young and I was running from the voice of God and the presence of God, you know why God never gave up on me? Because he said, I gave my blood for that boy. I'm not going to waste my blood and give up on him. That's why no matter what you've done in 2024, church, no matter how far you have run from God, I'm here to tell you, God is not mad at you. He is saying, I bought you with my blood. Come on back to the Father's house. Come on back to the presence of the Lord. I'm talking to somebody, you think your addiction is keeping you from God. God is saying, you bring your addiction to me. Don't wait. Don't buy into that lie from the adversary that you got to get cleaned up before you come to God. You can't get cleaned up outside of God. Let God do the cleaning. I belong to God. We're in his hand. No man can pluck us out. That's word, right? No man can pluck us out. That means if you're in the hand of God and we find ourselves out of the hand of God, you weren't plucked out, you jumped out. Ooh, it got quiet. Someone said it, said choice. That's right. It's your choice. Now, if I've got to choose to be in the hand of God or out of the hand of God, I'm always going to choose to be in the hand of God. You know what keeps me in the hand of God? Gratitude. Because gratitude keeps my eyes on Jesus and not on myself. I am not a product of all of the things that I was able to do. I found Jesus at the end of myself and said, Brandon, there is no you without God. And so I'm in his hand. I belong to God. Now listen, if I'm in his hand and the devil tries to give me cancer, guess what? The cancer might be on me. It might even be in me. But guess where I am? I'm in the hand of God. Which means that God has the cancer in his hand. Which means that God can do whatever he needs to do to heal, to deliver, to set free. That's why when there's problems, I don't jump out and run. I say, problems? You know where you're at? Oh, yeah, I'm in Brandon's life. Oh, you might be in my life, but you know where I am? I'm in the hand of God. I belong to God. That's why 4 weeks ago when the election happened, doesn't matter who was elected. I mean, I'm sure it matters at some point to people that don't know God, but to me, I'm in his hand. Doesn't matter who my president is when I'm in the king's hand. That was a good place to say amen. Number four, I have gratitude that I reside in God's pasture. Stand on your feet. I have gratitude that I reside in God's pasture. I hope my neighbors aren't watching. If you're watching, give me grace for what I'm about to say. I have very nice horses. Very nice. Award-winning, champion pedigrees. They look like $1 million, and one day they will be worth $1 million. In Jesus' name. My neighbors do not have nice horses. And they don't have nice livestock. And I rotate my pastures. So I have 8 or 10 pastures. And I always keep 2 or 3 empty so that if it rains in Texas, when it rains in Texas, that grass grows. And I don't have to feed as much hay. But every once in a while, not every once in a while, more than it should happen, I come home and their old nasty goats are in my pasture. Their turkeys are in my pasture. Their chickens they're pigs, sometimes they're cows, are in my pasture. And what's amazing to me is, church, when you get some ugly livestock next to some beautiful livestock, how bad it makes the beautiful livestock look. You think it would make them look better. But here's the thing. Both of them eat the same grass. And I got to call them all the time. Get your stuff off of my property. It's to the point now where the sheriff is called. He said, Pastor, man, you got to reach him for Jesus. I'll reach him for Jesus, all right. I'll start a prison ministry once they get locked up. This has been happening for seven years. I go home and tell Manny, man, they're back in again. What I'm saying is that they don't belong. I'm regulating what comes in and out of my pasture. And while I was preparing this, God had to rebuke me a little bit and said, man, you get so mad about doing that and it's just livestock. How many times have you tried to regulate my pasture? Who gets to come in? Who gets to go out? Who gets to stay in? Who gets to go out? And here is my excuse. Well, God, I don't want them in my pasture because if they're in my pasture, then I have to provide. They're eating my food. I'm having to take care of. And then God, again, brings it back to spiritual things. He said, you're not the provider. And you're not the protector. See, when we look to Jesus as our shepherd, listen to what I'm going to say now. We are the sheep of his pastures, what Psalm 103 says. The two things that he does as a shepherd, he protects and he provides for. Aren't you glad that you're in God's pasture? Aren't you glad that you're in God's pasture and not man's pasture? Aren't you glad that you're in God's pasture who says, I want everybody to come on in and not in man's pasture who is trying to find ways to keep you out? Come on now. So he provides, he protects. What is our job as sheep? Our responsibility is gratitude. And I'm closing with this. It would be very distasteful for us to stand in God's pasture and say, you owe me protection, you owe me provision. That would be distasteful. God brings something to the table and so do we. Here's what we bring to the table, gratitude. But I want us to go all the way back to the first week, 4 weeks ago. Gratitude is our response to grace, meaning this. God says, you're in my pasture, you get my protection, my provision. However, you have to allow your life to be governed by my grace. Here's where it gets deep, and I hope this doesn't go past you, and I hope you listen intently to the next 30 seconds. God's grace, Brother Oscar, does not allow me to live like I want to. God's grace calls me to a standard of living. Check this, a standard of giving. Check this, a standard of serving. Check this, a standard of what I watch on TV, what movies I go to, what things I listen to, what I spend my money on. God says, I have no problem providing and protecting, but you have to let your life be governed by grace, which is what true gratitude is. Meaning this, you say, what does that mean, Pastor, that you're losing me? Gratitude is, God, I'm grateful for where you've brought me from, but I'm going to live my life so that I never go back there again. That's powerful to me. That's powerful to me. God, I thank you for getting all that mess and nonsense out of my system. But God, now I'm going to let my gratitude be governed, my life be governed by the grace that gratitude is, that I'm not going to go back to that substance. I'm talking to somebody, back to that relationship. Here's a word for somebody that's in a single season. Don't let your loneliness drive you back to that bad decision, that bad mistake, that bad man, that bad woman. There's worse things than being isolated and by yourself, and that's being with the wrong person. Gratitude allows me to be governed by grace. I'm in his pasture. I'm not trying to jump out. I'm not trying to get out. It's funny thing. It's funny. My animals never try to get into their pastures. You know why? No green grass. I make sure I've got hay and green grass. So all the neighbors' animals, they're always trying to get on my place. Let me encourage somebody today. Don't jump out of God's hand. Everybody's trying to get in to what God is doing. Don't let the devil lie and have you jump out. Right now, the altars are open.